Jason has been giving us a series on prayer and the desire for us to pray and to connect with God. And I thought it was so cool how you did the Wi-Fi thing. I know that's your world. It's not really my world. So, but I understand a little bit of it more and more. And I thought it was so neat how you did that and how you brought that together. And how many, so many times we're looking for answers in our lives. And we sometimes are looking in the wrong places. And there's one that no matter where you go, God is always there. He's down in the depths and he's on the mountaintops. No matter where you go in life, no matter where you're at, he's there waiting for you to call out upon his name. Just waiting. And I want to thank you, Jason, for being led by God's Spirit in this, because this is so needed today. Because we even shared last week that there was somebody in town that had all the answers or whatever that doesn't have none of the answers because they do not serving the living God that we know. And all these songs. And I know that you guys may go through a lot of stuff. And with that being said, go ahead and put those names up now. For you that were here last week, these were the names that Jason shared with us and Amy's mom and dad so awesomely, I want to say, pronounced these words. They did such an awesome job with that. I could not begin to pronounce. I think I can get El Shaddai. I think I can do that one. The others, Abba, I may get that one. But some of the others I have a hard time with. But I appreciate Jason showing us these names of God. And I would take, I would advise you, I'd take the time, if you would, write these down. Write down what the meaning is behind it. And begin to search the Word of God. Because he also shared with us that when we pray, we need to pray in agreement with the Word. And my wife was privileged to be able to read Psalms 103. And if you haven't read Psalms 103, read it. And put yourself in that position and pray that prayer, that Psalms as a prayer. It is very powerful and pretty awesome. But God wants to connect with us. Are you willing to connect with him? I want you to think about that. Because no matter where you go in this world, God knows where you're at. He knows every need that you have, and he's there. No matter where you go. I mean, you can think of the worst of the worst. Christ went to Hades, went to hell, to the grave, to set the captive free from there. God loves us so much, he'll go anywhere to bring us back home. No matter how far we run from God, he's right there behind you, waiting for you to turn around. He's there. Okay? Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. I would ask that you guys pray for your pastor and his wife, if you can, on a continuous basis. Because I'm going to tell you, he's on the front line. There is a spiritual warfare going on. Him and his wife on the front line. If a family's going to be attacked, it's going to be their family. If things are going to happen, they're going to get the blunt because he is trying to share with us what God wants us to know. It's not just getting up here and doing a sermon on Sunday morning. It's a walk of life for them. Just like it needs to be a walk of life for us. Pray for them. Pray for their family. Okay? Keep them in prayer, please. Let me get my stuff together here. This is where the lapel comes in nicely, doesn't it? We discussed the lapel or not, and it doesn't fit me as well as it fits Jason is the issue. We was going to have to do some extra work, so we decided to do this. Speaking about prayer, he shared with us what we need to do to pray. And these were some of the names. So we're going to leave that up for just a little bit longer. I want you to write those names down. You really need to get a hold of that. Okay? Write those names down. Write the meaning behind each name. These were the Hebrew names, if I'm correct. Is that right? The Hebrew names, because the Jewish people at that time, the Hebrew people, would not even speak the name of God because it's holy. So they had to come up with all these other names so they could do this, and they felt okay to do that. And these are very powerful, okay? But have you prayed and didn't get an answer? Because what Jason was talking about is, let's pray. And he shared with how that. But have you ever prayed and didn't get an answer? Is that kind of frustrating when you prayed? Some said, no. Well, I'm going to get around you. If you prayed and you've always got an answer. I have prayed and there's times I didn't get an answer. Or there's times when things were pretty low and I said, God, are you hearing me? Are you hearing my prayer? I'm praying and I'm praying and praying. Lord, do you hear my prayer? Am I the only one, guys, that's felt this or been through this? And you question, Lord, where are you at? Maybe it's something that you're going through. Maybe it's a sickness. Why, Lord? Why? It could be a lot of different things. But I think if we were honest with ourselves, we've all been there. And the unanswered prayer. Sometimes it was to our advantage. I understand that. We'll discuss that. But I want to talk to you why we may have unanswered prayers. First of all, I want to clarify this. God hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've been, who you are, it doesn't matter. God hears your prayer. Do not believe the lie that he's not hearing your prayer, because he hears your prayer. There are three ways, and I'm going to make this as simple as possible, so it's not, I can go on a lot of different directions here, and I'm trying to keep it simple and keep it straightforward. There's three ways that God answers prayers. It's yes, no, and the other one may be wait, not yet. Okay? So yes, no, wait, not yet. And sometimes on the wait, not yet, that kind of confuses us. But on the no, do you know why God said no? Or why God does not answer your prayer at all? Because there's times he does not answer your prayer at all. I'm going to share these. Here's three points. Number one, it's sin. God does not answer a prayer of sin. Okay? Does not answer a prayer of sin. Sometimes I've asked God for things that was not what God wanted me to ask. It was not in his word. That's why it's important to pray the word. Because when you know the word, you know what to ask. Let me give you some examples of some sin. One of them is disobedience. If you want to write this down, I'm not going to read it. It's James 4:17. Look that up. I want you to do a little homework for yourself and study the word. James 4:17 tells us that God cannot bless us. He cannot hear an answer if we have sin in our lives. Disobedience. If you don't obey the word of God, you can't answer that prayer. Another one that's sin that you can look up, and it's a secret sin. Sins that we hide. It's another example of sin. Sins that we don't want nobody else to know about. And we all struggle with some of those. Could be addictions, it could be thoughts, it could be all kinds of things. But there's sin that we hide in our hearts. Psalms 66:18. And I'm going to say it in this way. It says, do not hide the iniquity in your heart. God cannot answer our prayers when we hide sin in our hearts. Because I'm going to tell you something, God is more concerned about your heart than what you want right now. He's in the heart business. He wants to change you to be who you want to be. Who God wants you to be. Secret sin keeps us from getting answers from God. Here's one in James 4, 6, and it says it's something like this, and you can look it up. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. When you let pride and a haughty spirit in your life, in your heart, God has nothing to do with that. He can't answer your prayer because you're allowing yourself, pride, to be the ruler of your heart. Do not let pride be the ruler of your heart. All through God's word, he says, humble yourselves. I will exalt you. If you're prideful, I will bring you down. Six things that God hates, and one of them, the first one he says, was a proud heart. It's very, very serious, guys. It's very serious. And pride creeps into each and every one of us. We are not exempt from being prideful and thinking we're better than other people. That's Satan's desire for us to be proud. And success tends to cultivate that sometimes. Church starts growing, people, we start to get proud of what we've done. I shared this in our Sunday school class this morning, speaking of success. Mother Teresa says, God does not require that we be successful, only that we be faithful. David Wilkerson, evangelist, if anybody knows him, he had a church in New York, Times Square. He's known as the man of the cross and switchblade. If you ever get that movie, I'd advise you to watch it. It's a true story of what David Wilkerson's life, how God called him. He said, when God calls you to something, he is not always calling you to succeed. He's calling you to obey. The success of the calling is up to him. The obedience is up to you. So many times we get that backwards, don't we? If I'm successful, then maybe I'm being obedient. And that's not always the case. Things may look successful, and this may not be what God's wanting you to do. So you got to pray. You got to find out. So pride is a big issue. The list can go on and on. I could spend all day telling you the sins that can keep your prayers from being answered. But here's another one that's real important: unforgiveness. And we battle that. Somebody hurts us. Somebody does us wrong, and we all tend to battle that. But in the Lord's Prayer, it is, Father, forgive me as I forgive others. And that unforgiveness breeds other stuff that starts to happen in our world, in our spirit, in our lives. So if you have any unforgiveness, I urge you, forgive as Christ forgave you. Do not allow unforgiveness to have a part in your heart as well. Like I said, I can go on and on and on. A couple of the others, James 4, 2, 2b, second part of verse 2, verse 3, wrong motives. God will not answer your prayer with the wrong motives. It says in there that you do not receive because you have not asked the right thing. because you're asking for your own pleasure. You read it. It's there. I don't, whatever version you want to read in that. But it tells us that God's not going to answer that prayer. And sometimes we get mixed up in the world with all the teachings that we've come through, positive thinking, all that stuff. God's prayer, our prayer to God, I'm saying, if we don't have the right motive, that's why it's important to pray God's word again, because then we're going to be in the right motive. And we can be in the right heart when we're obedient to his word. You want to know why your prayers may not be answered? That may be one of the reasons. Only you can check that and see in your own heart. Am I praying for the right motive? There's another one, and I didn't write the scripture down, but I feel like I need to share it with you. This one has to do with husbands. There's a scripture in the Bible that tells us, I believe it's in 1 Peter. I was sharing with our Sunday class, I'm not good at addresses. 1 Peter 4:7, I want to say, maybe, I think that's right. Somebody can look that up and check it. If I'm wrong, we'll get the right one. But it says this, husbands, treat your wife with respect and honor. Take care of them. Treat them good. Treat them right. Because your prayers may not get answered right away. God wants you to do what he wants us to do here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Men, I'm speaking to you, and I'm speaking to you because this is a problem in our world today. Women, our wives, need to be honored and respected. When I did not honor and respect my wife, I couldn't understand why God wouldn't hear my prayers. I answer my prayers. If I can't love and honor her, who I see and live with on a daily basis, how am I loving God and honoring him? Husbands, please think about this and begin to love your wives and treat them properly. The last one, which is probably one of the main ones, they're all important main, unbelief. Unbelief. God just cannot answer a prayer if there's unbelief. You think, well, why would I pray? You know what? Many times people pray. People want God to answer them. People want things. People want to connect with God, but there's something that comes in the way. And it's called unbelief. It may be a report from a doctor. It may be something that you're seeing at the moment that will cause you to unbelieve what God's word says. Has anybody been there? You may be there right now. Unbelief. James 1:6-7. And it basically says this. How can a man, if his faith wavers, expect to receive anything from God? That's my paraphrase. You looking in your version. I'm just telling you where God speaks in my heart. How can a man, if he wavers in his faith, how's he going to receive anything from God? And there's a lot of things out there that can waver our faith, isn't there? It's time that we begin to work on that so our prayers will be answered. Then we have what we think are unanswered prayers, but they're actually delayed. They're delayed prayer answers. Do you know there are some people that pray things that have never seen their prayers answered, but God still answered them? I think some of you may be sitting here today. How many grandparents of ours have prayed for our souls to be saved, yet they may never have saw it? They may have passed on to be with the Lord before they got to see it. Does that mean God didn't answer that prayer? No, he delayed in that. So don't mistaken delays from unanswered. Some things are get delayed, and there's reasons why they're delayed. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel's prayer was delayed. Do you know why? He prayed 3 times a day, but his prayer was still delayed. There's a warfare going on in the spiritual high places. And the enemy kept the angels from relaying the message of the answered prayer. And it was delayed. So sometimes your prayers are delayed. A lot of examples of it. You think Job prayed that God would not cause all this to come on him? You think Job prayed when he had all the boils? He said, "Lord, please take these away." I would have, would you not? I think we get a cold and we say, "Lord, take this away," you know? And we think, why is it taking so long, God? And we live in a society today that everything's instant. I want it now, 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 now. Boy, if computer don't come right up, we're upset. If this go through McDonald's, if they ain't got it ready, we're upset. Everything's a non-delayed thing. And the faster this world becomes, the less the delays we want. Our patience are very thin. Yet God delays. One of the reasons that God delays is because his timing's perfect. His timing's perfect. Maybe you're not ready yet to receive that answer. And maybe he knows when the best time that answered prayer needs to be. You're praying for a job, and you got this particular job in mind, and you think that's the job that's going to answer all your financial needs and everything in your life. And God says, you're not ready yet. Or maybe you want to marry somebody. We pray for our children, our girls. We have 7 girls, Trina and I. And she does most of praying on this. I am in agreement with her, okay? We're 2 or more gathering his name. We agree on one thing. He brings it to pass. And I'm telling you, I'm in agreement with her on this. And in that, we pray for their spouse, that God, that you will prepare the man for our girls as you prepare them for him. Because marriage is such a wonderful, beautiful, honorable thing from God. Whatever God puts together, let no man bring asunder, it says. That's pretty powerful. Now, have we seen all those prayers answered yet? No. Sorry, Case. It is a gift from God. And you're willing to wait for the right man instead of just to be married. Okay? Boy, I stepped into that one, didn't I? But we have 2 others that are not of age to get married yet. So that's who I was really thinking of, okay? But God has been faithful. And he brings the right man into their lives. God will always be faithful. He will always be faithful. So I want to talk about I've given you some issues about what God doesn't answer his prayer. It's pretty simple. Get the sin out of your life, which is the will of God. You know? Work on your unbelief. In fact, there was a person in the Bible said, "Lord, I'm having a hard time believing. Help my unbelief. You know, help me to believe." God will do that. Be honest with him. If you're having a struggle, be honest with him. It's all God's asking. Be honest. Get the right motives down. Get the right motives down. Make sure your heart's right with God. And I'm going to tell you, when your heart's right with God, you got the right motives going on, God doesn't refuse. Because you know what's the right thing to pray for, and you know your heart's right. It's very important. I would like to read. I've got some other illustrations. Lazarus is one, and I can go on and on. Whole Bible's full of the delays of answered prayers. Delays. Abraham, how long did he have to wait for a child? And what happened when he tried to do it on his own? Total chaos and mess. Don't we do that when we don't want to wait? We do our own thing and boom. Well, what'd I do that for? Abraham, wait. God came through. It was a long time, guys. It was an impossible situation, yet God made it happen. God will answer your prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to you that believe. So I want to reverse some of the unbelief stuff. I want you to believe. That's Jesus' word. If you can believe, all things are possible for you to believe. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care what's going on. If you want to believe, if you will believe and trust the Lord, all things are possible to them that believe. I'd like to read quickly to you. I have a devotion book, Charles Spurgeon devotion book, and in it, John 14:13 was his verse, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is not every believer who has yet learned to pray in Christ's name, to ask not only for his sake, but in his name. As authorized by him is a high order of prayer. We would not dare to ask for something in that blessed name, for it would be a wretched, I worked on this word, profunctionate, I can't say it, see, it happens. I'm sorry. Profanation. Profanation. Profanate. Profanation. You know what it means? Okay, I'll help you what it means. Okay, pardon? Profanity. Thank you. Yes, it would be a wretched profanity of it. But when the petition is so clearly right that we dare set the name of Jesus to it, then it must be granted. Let me read that again. But when the petition is so clearly right that we dare set the name of Jesus to it, then it must be granted. Prayer is all the more sure to succeed because it is for the Father's glory through the Son. It glorifies his truth, his faithfulness, his power, his grace. The granting of prayer, when offered in the name of Jesus, reveals the Father's love to him and the honor which he has put forth upon him. The glory of Jesus and of the Father are so wrapped up together that the grace may magnify, So wrapped together that the grace which magnifies the one magnifies the other. The channel is made famous through the fullness of the fountain, and the fountain is honored through the channel by which it flows. If the answering of our prayers would dishonor our Lord, would we not pray? If the answering of our prayers would dishonor the Lord, would we not pray? Would we not pray that? If we know it's going to dishonor him? But since in this thing he is glorified, we will pray without ceasing in the dear name in which God and his people have a fellowship of delight. I'd like to add the name that's above every name. That when you pray, that's the name of Jesus. That's the name above every name. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just read, when we ask things in his name, he will do it. But we got to have all that other stuff out of the way, guys. That's our part. And we dare not ask something that would dishonor him. I'm going to share one particular of the Bible. It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 43, and I advise you to read this. I'm going to just share the story with you. Jesus had just done a big miracle. He cast out demons of this man that was could not be bound. He was in, and I think Jason's preached on this, he was in the grave site, and he would run around with no clothes on, and they couldn't control him, but he was demon-possessed. Jesus went over and prayed for him immediately in his right mind, sitting clothed, listening to Jesus at Jesus' feet. The town was so freaked out about it, in my own words, that they said, you need to get out of here. You need to get out. So Jesus goes back across the water, back to home, and all these people are waiting on the shore, waiting for him. And as they're waiting for him with his anticipation, he shows up, and one of the versions says he began to do some teaching, when all of a sudden, this religious leader, Jairus by name, comes up to Jesus and said, I believe that if you will come and lay hands on my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter's dead, I believe you will come. It was his only daughter. You will come and lay hands on her. She will live. So Jesus naturally says, let's go. He starts to walk toward Jairus' house. And on the way, the crowd just comes around him. And as they're coming around him, they're all just almost like a celebrity. They just want to touch him. They just want to reach out and just press against him and touch him. And there was a woman in the crowd that had a disease. It was an incurable disease. It was a blood disease. She spent all of her money. She went to the doctor, spent all of her money, and nothing. It got worse instead of better. They couldn't do nothing for her. And she thought, if I could just touch his garment, even the hem of his garment, I could be. And as Jesus walking through this crowd, she makes her way through it some way, somehow. If you've had any of that and you're that sick, you know you're not the strongest person around. And I can just imagine her trying to get through any way she can to get to him. And she gets close enough up behind him. And she reaches out and she touches his garment. And immediately she felt herself, oh, I'm healed. I've been paid whole. And Jesus stops in his tracks. And he says, who touched me? And the disciples look at him and said, Lord, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? He said, no, but somebody touched me with faith. She, at that point, being a little afraid of being known, maybe, she finally stands up and says, I touched you, Lord. God knew who touched her. He knew who touched her the whole time. But he wanted her to stand up. And she confessed, I've been sick for 12 years with this thing. I spent all my money, all this going on. It's not happening. I thought if I could just touch your garment, I would be made whole. And he said, peace, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Don't tell me he's dead. God is not dead. That's the same God we serve today, folks. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you right now, you touch God in faith, it does miracles. It does miracles. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to be instantly healed, but I'm going to tell you this. God's going to answer that prayer according to his will. Sometimes it is instantly. Now, poor old Jarvis is sitting here and he's saying, my daughter's dead. What are you doing? And as he gets closer to the house, they come out and said, why are you bothering Jesus for? Your daughter's already dead. And Jesus speaks up and he says, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at him and made fun of him, scorned him. Jesus. Apparently they didn't know who he was, did they? And when he laughed at him, they laughed at him and scorned him. He said, get out of the way, get out of the room, I'm going in. And he brought just a few with him. He brought them in. He laid hands on her and he says, daughter, get up. The Bible tells me that she got up and she walked around the room and everybody was astonished and amazed. That's the kind of God we serve. They're wanting to do things at this church that people will say, what are you doing that for? But if God's laid this on our pastor's heart and our elder's heart to do this, let's be in agreement and pray with them. But what I'm concerned about today is you. I don't know what you're going through, but I serve a God that's still in the business of doing miracles. I serve a God that's still in the business of saving lost souls. I serve a God that's still in the business of breaking chains that are binding you from being who God wants you to be. I serve a God that can take the impossible and make it possible. I don't know what you're going through. I'm going to ask that the worship team come up. We're going to sing a song. You sing along with us. It's a real simple song. But I want you to believe. I want you to believe what the Word of God says and what was spoken to you. I don't know what you're going through right now or what you've been through this week or what you know may be ahead. Some of you may have gotten a report that something's ahead that you're going to have to go through. I promise you this. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Grab a hold of the hem of his garment this morning. Jesus is walking by. Grab a hold of it that we may pray together, that we can agree together. You're not in this alone.